El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, that was weird. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion, a podcast about politics and life and comedy and stuff, hosted by Adam Todd Brown. I am not Adam Todd Brown. I'm Brett Rader. Adam is on vacation in the Midwest. He forgot to record this intro, so I'm doing it. Oh, the power that I wield. It's so mighty. Joining us today, he used to work at Cracked. He doesn't anymore. He'll host your child's bar or bat mitzvah for a cool $350 plus food and lodging. That's a pretty good deal. Book him while supplies last. It's Tom Ryman. He knows a lot about movies also. Ladies. Also joining us today, I don't remember the last time she's been on the show. That's mainly because I haven't really listened to Unpops in about a year or so. She could have been on 3 weeks ago, but I don't think she's been on recently. It's because she lives in foggy London town with Ringo Starr and Winston Churchill. It's Maria Schajota. It's going to be a good show. Join us, and we'll talk about Nazis and stuff.
All right, we are recording. Hey, everybody, welcome to Unpopular Opinion.
Hey.
This is fun. Brett and Tom are back.
Holla.
Because what do any of us have to do except record podcasts right now?
Not a goddamn thing.
Not a fucking thing. And I think Maria Schajota's still here, or she may have just hung up the phone.
I'm here.
Yay, Maria Schajota.
I was waiting for an introduction.
On location from England. How long have you been out there? We miss you on the network since you fled the country. Was it because of Trump?
I just assumed it was tax
basically.
Related.
It was, I mean, like, well, I've never paid my taxes. I don't know what that is. But, like,
sure.
Yeah, for Trump. And then, like, I met a guy and we, like, got engaged. And so I've been in London a year and a half now.
Are you married?
No, I'm not married.
Are you still engaged?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sweet.
No. So. No. It's over. We broke up.
Oh, I won't ask about Nick. Fuck that guy.
Was his name even Nick, or did you just pick a name?
I picked a name. I don't even know what his real name was. Brett, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Wait, what'd you say, Maria?
I said, are you kidding? Do you really not know what his name is?
No, his name's Nick.
It was Nick. Even I remember that.
He was on the podcast, right. And he's British.
Oh my God, you're British actor.
So he's in the room.
So now you're like alone. Are you stuck in England? Are you like alone? Can you get back? I don't know how immigration works.
I'm not like a refugee. Like, I could get back if I wanted to. I just like London. And I'm single. I'm not alone. Alone sounds so bad. Are you alone?
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean it like that. I apologize.
Yeah.
I am alone, though. I'm very, very alone.
Well, we're glad you're surviving, even though you're so lonely. We want to come out there and do shows in London sometime, and in Europe in general.
Please do, but we've been saying this.
We have.
We've been saying this for years. Let's do it.
I toured last year with a really huge German rapper who wants to bring us out also.
Oh, sweet. I would totally do that.
Yeah. I just realized Tom is wearing headphones, but also there are headphones on his microphone.
I didn't even see those.
Extravagant. So extravagant.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Tom, what have you been up to, man, since we recorded last? You were on last week's episode. Hit it, Brett! You know, the hardest part of the show for me is the first few minutes, because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life. Maria can't hear any of the music behind this right now, so this part seems very weird. That's why we call this segment This Week in Me.
Just looking at my phone.
Where...
don't even care.
Have I done the show? Yeah. I have not. No.
Welcome.
Tom's looking at his phone. Hopefully it doesn't break the recording. Unless it's on airplane mode. You know, like it should be.
Well, it's on Do Not Disturb. I didn't know I had to,
Be like an airplane, Tom. Be like an airplane. So what are we talking about today? That's a new thing I do. I throw that question out to the guests as if I don't host and research this podcast myself.
Right.
We're talking about Britain first.
Yeah.
Maria, have you joined Britain first since you lived in England?
As soon as I got there.
That makes sense.
I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was for. I was like, this sounds like Britain first. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just where you go first when you get to Europe.
They were waiting at the airport. They were giving out free t-shirts. I was like, all right, this sounds like a good organization. Maybe it's a good networking opportunity.
Interesting that they let you in the group. Being that you were immigrating to
England. Yeah, I felt like everybody was just kind of looking at me weird, but you know, I just thought it was because I'm short. I never know. I don't care. But yeah, Britain first.
Yeah, if anyone's unaware, this is a group that Trump retweeted a few weeks ago, and then people were like, hey, that's like a far-right anti-Muslim hate group. And he was like, eh, and those tweets are still up.
I didn't think he said eh.
He didn't say eh, but Sarah Sanders said, yeah, but still.
Yeah, her actual response was, well, it doesn't matter if that they're not real or true because the threat is real, and that's what the president is talking about. Which is the most fucking insane
3D chess
response to anything you could give.
It's very insane.
The threat of being pushed off a roof, threat is real.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or being beat up while you're on crutches by someone who also grew up in the same country that you were born in.
Or the threat of someone smashing a statue during wartime.
Which that, I didn't give a shit about. Why were we supposed to be mad about that statue getting smashed? That's O'Connor shit right there.
And it was also during, like, a war.
Yeah. Like, you got bigger fish to fry.
You break things.
Maria, how visible is this group in England right now? Is it... I feel like we're maybe giving them... or at least Trump, maybe giving them more attention than they normally even get. Because I read they only have 1,000 members.
It's not a lot.
Honestly, like, I never hear about them ever. Nobody talks about them. It's kind of like the way everybody in England thinks Americans, single American owns a gun. It's like, maybe you guys think that that's like a huge group. It's never spoken about. I didn't even know about it until...
Is it possible?
This morning, so.
Is it possible, Maria, that because you live in London, it would be like, hey, Adam, how many KKK people do you see? And Adam's like, zero. I live in Los Angeles, and there's not like a white supremacist, like an out white supremacist to be found for 100 miles. Is it possible?
Is that how far Orange County is from LA?
Yeah, I was just thinking maybe Riverside. I don't know. That might be 60 miles. But is it possible that like you live in a liberal bubble? It's out on the outskirts.
It's like so different from the rest of the country. It's like, I mean, yeah, it's just like New York or LA is to the state. It's just, it's a big metropolitan city with a, Muslim mayor. Like I don't know anybody who's a part of the Britain First party or even the other ones or UKIP or the English Defense League and all that. I don't know anybody who's a part of that.
English Defense League. They're like political soccer hooligans. Such an interesting.
That's what they sound like.
That's basically what they are.
Are the other two like actual political like groups, or are they just? I mean, do
the group that basically passed Brexit.
Okay,
they were the group that was run by Nigel Farage, and they
do like field candidates for office.
Yeah, and this group does. Cool. Like, well, we have more members. We have more subscribers than Britain First has members, which means.
Which means
I think we all realize we need to take a really racist turn with this and start getting some more.
Which means you need Trump to retweet you.
Yes.
Yes.
So
yes.
That you could get more subscribers.
Everyone's busy trying to get blocked by Trump. I just want to get retweeted.
Give me that sweet, sweet retweet.
I'm just going to tweet a link to one of our podcasts and the word Muslims with a question mark and tag him in it.
What if
see
you
if he just, see if he just goes for it.
What if you taped a podcast, say, in January or February, and it wasn't particularly anti-Trumpy or like anti-conservative? It was kind of a more middle-of-the-road thing on maybe why gun control... Like, you've done some gun control. Like, why gun control is harder to do than normal. And he tweets out, great podcast hosted by, like, Beanie in quotation Adam Brown.
Was that a shot at the beanie I'm wearing?
I don't know.
Right
I'm
now?
Trying to think because he makes up nicknames.
South Korea,
he
make up monster.
But if he just did a typical Trump tweet that was like kind of racist, like kind of written by a 70-year-old man, but it was kind of positive about unpopular opinion, would that be the best thing that's ever happened to you?
In some respects,
would you respond? Oh, go fuck yourself.
I would respond, go fuck yourself, but the damage would be done. He would have tweeted about it already.
No, I mean it would just keep you in the and everybody's everybody would know about you more. You should respond to him as much as possible. But like, I mean, Yeah, that would be all good.
It would
no
get
publicity is bad publicity.
But I mean, it would get me locked in a camp someday. I'm
That's
sure.
That's the Trump mantra.
But other than that, it would be fine. So let's talk about Britain first, because it's crazy how far right this group is. Because it's, you know, you hear, oh, that's Trump. He just supports these things. But this is a sitting U.S. president tweeting a really hardcore far right anti-Muslim group just completely unapologetically. No qualms about it. He hasn't taken the tweets down. I checked
right,
this morning.
And they're all videos that purport to be one thing, and they're all, I think, easily debunked.
Right. I don't know about the one with the kid getting thrown off the roof. I don't know if they've debunked that. But the other one is just...
Well, I mean, it's a thing that... It's the context that's being presented in.
Right.
Is very misleading.
Can you talk about the video? Like, the videos in the tweet is a Muslim, a brown-seeming person... Teenager, right?
There were three tweets. There's one that just shows like a Muslim guy smashing a statue of the Virgin Mary, which I'm like,
everyone does that.
Yeah, I could see that on late night television or something. Someone gets the gumption for it.
And again, that was like that wasn't like a Tuesday. It was like in a war.
Yeah.
During
yeah.
wartime. And yeah. like in a war zone.
People do
what
a
was
lot.
It in Syria or something? Where was it?
I'm not sure. I probably should have looked that up.
Yeah, the one with the crutches was somewhere in Northern Europe.
The right? crutches, both of the kids in the crutches video were born and raised in the Netherlands. So even though one of them had brown skin, he was by no means a Muslim immigrant who came to the Netherlands and started beating the shit
beating
out of kids on
white
crutches.
Kids and crutches.
That was the context that was presented in the video.
Yeah.
Like, watch this Muslim immigrant beat up some young, right. innocent white kids.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, all these kids are from the Netherlands, were born there, so he's not an immigrant. And
right.
white kids probably deserved it.
Yeah, yeah. You never know. And then the one with the person getting thrown off the roof, I don't know anything about that one. And
that was in Alexandria.
Virginia?
In Egypt.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because that would have been Egypt. Crazy.
And, yeah, I mean, they just do that there.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, I don't the thing about the videos, it's and yeah, we brought it up already when people asked about it. Sarah Huckabee Sanders was just like, the threat is real. And it's like, no, it's not. Muslim people aren't throwing us off roofs in the United States.
Mm-mm.
I don't hear about Muslims being emboldened to beat the shit out of white people. It seems like it's the exact opposite right now.
It seems like the diametric opposite
yeah.
is what's happening.
I feel like we are creating a climate where white people feel confident in beating up Muslims. Like the two Trump supporters who beat up he was Mexican because they have Trump's diverse in his hatred. But the two Trump supporters in Boston who beat up that Mexican
the homeless guy, right?
Homeless guy. Yeah. And when they were arrested, they
already
said,
not a challenge.
Right, yeah.
You can beat most homeless people.
Right, especially if you have a metal pole, which is what they beat him with.
Right.
And when they were arrested, they said, Donald Trump is right. All of these illegals need to be deported. So you're going to beat them with a metal pole back to Mexico? What the fuck does that even mean?
You can't. I mean, they're in Boston.
Yeah.
You're going to have to beat him for a long time to get him all the way back to
beat
Mexico.
Beat him onto the Acela. Get down to Washington, D.C. at least.
And in England, there was a guy in... I think it was just last year. I can't find him in the notes right now, but there was a guy who murdered someone from the opposing political party while shouting Britain first.
Yeah, I think it was at the beginning of last year.
Joe Cox.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Joe Cox that was murdered.
Joe Cox.
What is the guy's name? I have it in these.
And
damn it.
And their defense was like, he wasn't done talking. He wasn't saying Britain first. He was saying Britain first things first.
Okay. What the fuck ever.
Britain first, I would like to say.
Or maybe he had a Cockney accent.
Like, let's keep Britain.
Maybe he was a Cockney and he was talking about how Britain wants to like sleep with all the other countries. And he was like, Britain firsty.
Probably not.
Could be.
Yeah, he was. His name was Thomas.
That's probably it.
Yeah,
his name was Thomas Mayer. In 1988, he wrote a letter to a white supremacist publication in South Africa, expressing hope that the white race will prevail. Mm. Which
South Africa was like, sounds good.
Yeah. Awkward side note: they really don't in South Africa.
Pretty shortly after that letter, right?
Like, yeah, things went really bad for the white race in South Africa.
Bad timing.
Not long after that letter.
Bad timing, Thomas.
He also possessed a bunch of Nazi paraphernalia as well as books that were doubting the Holocaust. And he also studied assassinations of liberal political figures.
That's how we get Trump to retweet us. You do Muslims with a question mark, like Muslims? You also do Holocaust?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like with the shrug.
The way to do Trump to retweet is to send one of these videos, or like the video of a WWE sort of thing, but with like Hillary's face sort of superimposed on the character that was getting beat up or thrown out of the ring or something like that.
Yeah.
You tweet one of those, and then when all the news media is like, what is this unpopular opinion thing? They go listen to one podcast, like, oh, these people hate Trump. They just want some publicity.
They just played their cards right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Get them some subscribers on Patreon. Patreon.com/unpops.
You got played, POTUS.
Should we pull up? Can we look at the Britain First website quick?
I can.
Oh, I no, have
you,
the.
Do you want that?
Never
in your,
mind. I have the.
Do you want that particular FBI flag on your.
You're goddamn right, I do. Oh, yeah, it would. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Britain First website. One of the things I noticed right away. I use a plugin when I surf the web, as the kids call it these days,
mm-hmm.
called Web of Trust.
The World Wide Web.
And if you've never used Web of Trust, it's a Chrome plugin that will basically tell you if the website you're about to visit is safe or not. It puts a green, yellow, or red icon next to each website.
I'm sorry, this guy looks like... fuck.
They have the...
I forgot his name. A guy looks like Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, there's nothing.
Or if Anthony Michael Thomas was going to play Bane.
Yes. Yeah. Swole Anthony Michael Hall.
Michael Thomas.
But normally this Web of Trust, what this plugin does, if you visit a website that they deem unsafe, they give you this really intrusive full screen pop-up that's basically like, warning, this site is, and it's very effective. Like,
right, and the initials are WOT, so it's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
but this site just has a red banner across the top that really blends in, and I've never seen that on any other site. Is it more
intrusive on other sites?
No, yes, on other sites it's a full screen pop up.
Oh shit!
That takes over the whole, and you have to click out of it, and you have to literally click a button that says "Ignore this warning, go to website." And here they just have this banner, which makes me wonder: did they like push for this? Did they? Like, I don't know how this is the one hate website in the world, because I visit so many, you guys. And I don't know how this is the only one that doesn't get that pop-up. It's weird.
I don't know the answer to that.
Damn it, Brett. Why not?
What is the website? What is the plugin? What is it protecting you against? It's content?
Just
or
shady,
like,
shady websites,
like,
right?
Yeah, like phishing websites.
Pornography.
Websites about the band Fish.
Fisting websites.
Yeah. Yeah, fisting websites. Fisting with a PH, which is
so
really...
What does the banner say?
It just says, warning, this site has some trust issues.
Same.
Tread carefully. Yeah. And then there's two links. View full report. Don't warn me about this website again. Which, yeah, don't we all have trust issues? That's a good point, Brett.
I like on the slide.
We need that banner for Tinder profiles and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
Warning, this person has some trust issues. Their slideshow of images, one of them, it says Britain First and racism, but they put racism in quotes, and it's a picture of the lady, Jada Franson. Putting her arm around a black person, and it is the only black person in any of these photographs.
Yeah,
so it's like, see, I'm next to a black person. How could I possibly be racist?
I think they kidnapped her, actually.
it's what all these, you know,
about the choker.
Trump bots and stuff too. It's like, how could Trump be racist? Look at this Trump, like, black people that love Trump account that follows Trump. But it's like, oh well, you research into it, and it's like a photoshopped image of. Like a stock photo black person
right. With
a MAGA hat on it.
Yeah, and they some of the things they have on their website, lots and lots of petitions. One, to demand that the BBC stops discriminating against white Britons because they have a trainee broadcast journalist post up on their website, And it says it's only open to candidates from a black, Asian, or non-white ethnic minority background.
It's a diversity hire. It's a diversity hire. Many, many large companies do. It's a good thing.
You hear it talked about, like people talk about that in Hollywood about how there's no diversity, but there on a lot of shows there is.
No,
there
it's are legally, it's at least part of writers' rooms. It's illegal. We're not illegal, but you don't get as much funding or support from the Writers Guild if you don't have a diverse hire, whether it's a woman or a non-white person or someone
people of color.
People of color.
People
sorry.
Of color.
Sorry,
Brett.
Jesus, I'm trying to be nice. Come on, I'm not someone of a. You know, like a non-hetero, oh God, I don't know the words. You know.
We know what diversity means, Brad.
Yeah. Somebody who's not a straight white man.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And even still, like the BBC, this hire, this could be for a job where there are 9 straight white dudes and they just leave this position open for the
that's
1,000%
what
of
it is.
Color.
Like,
and then all the white dudes look around and go, why aren't there 10 of us?
Yeah.
It's like. Because there's 9 of you.
Like,
there's 9 of you. That's enough. Jesus.
Right. Even with what Brett said, there's still, like, the majority of writers' rooms in Hollywood are still, it's all white men. So
basically, Britain first is every white male comedian ever.
Kinda, yeah.
But they can't get anything.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. They also want to, it's nothing but petitions on their front page. There's one to stop the Cheadle Mosque expansion, which shout out to Don Cheadle for expanding.
I hope it's Don Cheadle's mosque, yeah.
Yeah. I hope it's a whole chain of Cheadle mosques. Free speech for Jada Franson.
They just want a rec room.
Almost none of these petitions have the required number of signatures.
And they're not asking for a lot.
Literally none of them have them.
Yeah, I feel like we could hit 15,000 sigs.
Two of them are against the expansion of, like, if your front page has a thing that says Britain first and quote-unquote racism, and then 2 of the 4 petitions featured on your front page are to stop mosques from expanding.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle. Cheadle's mosque. Too.
You're racist. Yeah. I mean, Don Cheadle's mosque.
Not only is he black.
Let him worship.
He has a mosque named after him.
Yeah.
Hotel Rwanda.
What a
Ocean's
great movie. Traitor?
12.
You ever seen Traitor?
Boogie Nights? No.
No one's seen Traitor, but that's a great movie with a really great twist ending. Shout out to Don Cheadle. Saw him walking in Santa Monica once. Not to brag. Not to brag.
But I saw him. He was there.
I saw him at like a Macy's once.
Nice.
Yeah.
Speak on that, Maria.
That's the whole story.
Oh, that's the entire story? All right.
Oh. I was sure there was going to be so much more to that. And the employees followed him around. It's weird.
I only know that because I was following two.
Some of the other things.
There's a delay.
Yeah, I know. I feel like we're working with it pretty well.
I think so too. I get scared that I'm not funny, and I'm like, oh, there it is. Okay.
You're always funny, Maria. Let's talk.
Thank you.
They also have their mission statement on their website, which is stern, dedicated, loyal, steadfast, and incorruptible men and women. Okay, that's. I mean, if they're just going to take our fucking mission statement verbatim and put it on their own site, that's fine. They also, I guess this is the second part, a Britain where sexual degeneracy is not the norm, but the exception. I'm not in favor of that.
Mm-mm.
British people love
that,
doing sexual stuff.
That confused stuff. Me. Sexual degeneracy, which means what, like... Like degenerate, like
they mean gay people.
They mean
like other parties have a bunch of sex. Oh,
yeah, they mean butt stuff. Basically,
they mean anything that's not.
So, but they're saying that it's not like there's no gays. There's just not a lot of them.
Right. They want it to be the exception.
So you're reading from like the core tenets of the.
Well, this is from an email I fired off to them. It was a proposed mission statement. Actually, yeah. These were my no. Yeah, this comes from their actual mission statement on their website. They also have their party platform listed. Which is fantastic. It's got 5 points. The first one, complete ban on Islam.
Easy.
Second, banning the use of the word racist by the media. No problem,
sure.
Bob.
Sure.
Yeah. Paying foreigners to leave the country. How about that one, Maria?
They'll do it.
See, that I was actually intrigued by. I was like, well, how much? Because yeah. I would leave for the right amount of money.
What are we talking about here? Like, let me know, give me a number, and I'll tell you whether or not I'm going to sit down at the table.
Give me numbers.
Yeah.
Give me numbers.
Yeah.
They also want to introduce a total ban on abortion using Ireland and North Ireland as a model, which, yeah.
Not great.
It's a good place to model your fucking abortion policy on.
Yeah, it should probably never be the
unless the baby has a gun, you can't get an abortion in Ireland.
Listen, Irish people are fine. I don't know many, but if anything you say that isn't like how to get drunk or like how to make a pie or something like that is like modeled after how they do it in Ireland, that's probably not a good thing.
Yeah, no. Almost nothing. What else do they got going on? Also, greatly increased assistance and counseling for victims of sexual attacks.
I want to talk about this one for a second.
Which even a blind squirrel finds a nut sometimes, I guess.
But
right.
But they also are very anti-abortion.
Right.
So I have a feeling here that this is about people who are sexual violence victims where the perpetrator was a brown person.
Right.
And if we get into the fellow who runs this, can you tell me about maybe some of his run-ins with the law?
Paul Golding, you mean?
Sure. Or Downing? Or is that? Or is there?
Oh, yeah, we kind of skipped over Downing. He was.
Or I forget which one was which, but
well,
I just want to point out on this bullet point that they want to help out victims of sexual violence, but they also want to prevent abortion. They want to make abortions illegal. And the guy who runs it.
Oh, yeah. Paul Golding. Yeah. He was, among other things, we'll go through some of his history. But yeah, at one point he was accused of sexually assaulting a woman after a rally condemning child sex abuse.
There it is.
Yeah.
So
it's like he's like all this sex abuse talk getting me a little hot for some sex abuse.
He just had a powerful erection the entire time.
So I just want to point out that bullet point, helping out victims of sexual violence, is like there's a parenthesis, like unless I'm doing it or unless you get pregnant.
Well, right. It's always been part of racist propaganda, like they used it in Italy and Germany and such during, you know, World War II and everything. It's the idea that all the brown people are going to come and rape the white women.
Yeah.
And that's like every single group has that as part of its like foundation. It's based on this fear, which I guess is derived from, you know, being racist and also feelings of sexual inadequacy.
Yeah, I left some parts out of their platform. Also scrap the entire foreign aid budget. All right, that seems harsh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Go on.
Withdraw from the United Nations, quote, which is used by vested interests to undermine the Western world.
Sounds a lot like Trump.
Yeah. Abolish the corrupt, bloated, and politically biased BBC.
Also sounds like Trump.
A lot like Trump. There's also, we talked about they have a page on their website dedicated to them not being racist, which is just made up of pictures of Britain First members with people of color. One of the people in the photos has Make America Great Again hat on. Surprise.
Make America hat again.
Yeah. So, that's kind of, so we were going to talk about Paul Golding. He is, how are you doing, Maria? We haven't talked to you in a while.
No, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm listening to all the bullet points.
I am curious how you mentioned that in England, they think of Americans as all having guns. I'm always curious what Europe and England's take is on abortion. It always bothers me when people are like, oh, America's so far behind so many other countries. And it's like, we're not behind Ireland when it comes to abortion. Like by
Australia any means. Legalized gay marriage last month.
Yeah. And is that a thing you see over there where people talk about how advanced Europe is compared to the United States? Or is that just hoity-toity Americans wishing they lived in Europe like you do because you're so cool?
No, I mean, I think that everybody thinks they're more advanced than the United States in like so many different ways. I don't really know anything about abortions. Like, I don't know, like if I had to get an abortion in England, I don't know how easy it would be, but I think pretty easy. Because I think Irish girls, like, hop on over to London to get an abortion whenever they need one.
That makes sense.
But yeah, I think, I do think that there's a sense of we're doing it, like, or, you know, Europe and England are doing it better than the states that you guys are behind. I don't know who I'm affiliated with. I don't know if I'm saying our when I'm saying me in England or if I'm saying we as me in America. Like, I don't know. I'm just kind of
well, you're like a double agent.
Yeah.
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 to infiltrate the deep state.
Yeah, you're working both sides. You're part of Trump's new spy organization.
You're playing both sides.
I mean, there's such a an anti-American sentiment all over the place. And just like even Canadians, when they get on stage in London, the fucking first thing they say is, don't worry, I'm not, like one of my good friends says this and I feel bad, but I'm not American. You know, like it's just like they want to separate themselves. Nobody likes Americans. They like me. I think I'm an exception.
Yeah.
But, one of the good ones.
That happens a lot, though. That happened.
Yeah.
I think it comes and goes according to who's in office, because you heard that a lot when Bush was in office, too. I knew a comic who did a comedy show in England, and it was a thing where they gonged you if your jokes were going bad. And the first thing she said was
at the comedy store.
The first thing she said was that she was from the United States, and they gonged her. And she had to get off stage.
Yeah, I mean, she shouldn't have started with that.
Yeah, don't open with that.
I did the gong show, and the first thing I talked about was being Egyptian, and I got gonged. And then I was like, you racist motherfuckers. And then everybody cheered. But then, like, I got gonged off after 2 minutes.
But that is kind of racist. Why did they gong you?
It is super racist. Yeah.
Yeah. Always play the race card.
So let's talk about some of the monsters who run Britain First, because just a reminder, these are the people that our president has aligned himself with and is not backing down from it one goddamn bit. One guy, Paul Golding, he was described by Jada Franson's ex-boyfriend as a narcissist and jealous of their relationship. He was recorded, I don't know what this means, he was recorded to have worn women's underwear on his head on Remembrance Sunday when he was 16.
Not on Remembrance Sunday.
On his head?
But the elders!
They don't go there, Paul!
Oh,
that was a baffling little note. What? Who cares? I mean, I guess it's disrespectful. Like, you know what Remembrance Sunday is, right?
But yeah, I guess.
No.
But in terms of strikes against his character, that's pretty minimal.
And it says it's a thing that is brought up regularly when he's discussed.
Oh, I know. I can see why, because it's ridiculous. It's very silly. It's a silly thing for a man to do.
He was elected as a British National Party councillor for Swanley in 2009, where his constituents say he, quote, did nothing. He stepped down after 2 years and went on to help create Britain First. He ran in London's mayoral elections and infamously turned his back on Sadiq Khan as Khan gave his acceptance speech. Not racist, though.
That's just so petty.
Yeah.
It's so petty.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this all sounds like Trump. You remember?
So he was, like, standing on a stage with Khan and then, like, turned around. Like, and faced the
made
the back
a point
wall.
Of turning his back on him while he gave his acceptance speech.
What a fucking tool.
Like, that's beyond racism. Like, I feel like racists saw that and were like, dude.
Dude, that's too racist.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
I know, grow up. God.
He was jailed
what
for... He was jailed for 8 weeks in 2016 for violating a court ban on entering mosques. Yeah, that's one thing. We skipped over one of the guy who initially founded Britain First. His name was Jim Dowson. He eventually left because Britain First became too radical for him.
Why can't... What's this guy's name? Paul, the other guy?
Paul Golding.
Why can't he go inside mosques? I mean, I think I know why, but
they were basically
he was being a menace.
Yeah, they were going into mosques and basically like causing havoc and telling people they needed to leave the country.
Huh.
And I think also there's probably some sort of religious rule against Muslims and non-Muslims entering mosques, possibly.
Well, I don't know, like. I would assume if you just continuously go into like a protected house of worship, they'll just be like, no, you just stop.
And, harassing people.
Now, like if I went to churches all the time and was harassing people for not being
Church's
Jewish
chicken?
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh.
I go to Church's Chicken all the time and ask people if they believe in Jesus.
Prohibited from going into churches. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to make sure he didn't like drive a car through a mosque or something insane.
Not yet. I'm sure it's coming.
Building up to it.
Now, the one cool thing on his resume, in July 2017, headbutted a martial arts instructor and MMA fighter in the face.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, as of December 2nd, alleged to have sexually assaulted a woman after a rally condemning child sex abuse.
Mm.
So, yeah, everything about this dude sounds like Trump.
What was he going to do? Like, it was all this talk about child sex abuse. He got so turned on. Like, what was he going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're there. People are talking. Like, I mean,
she was just there.
Yeah. You get urges.
Her boobs were all there and stuff. It's like, don't have boobs if you don't want them to be touched.
And right. What is she doing as an adult
right.
at a child sex abuse rally, pedophile?
Right.
Right? He was keeping those kids safe.
Right.
So that's what he was doing, yeah.
Right.
I'm going to keep these streets safe. You don't bring boobs to a child sex rally.
We went down an uncomfortable tangent.
We sure did.
With that part of the discussion.
We sure did.
Let's talk about Jada Franson. Her ex-boyfriend ended their relationship over her involvement in Britain First, which
sounds probably a smart move.
Yeah. Sounds like he's got his head on his shoulders.
Yeah, sounds like a good
Maria. Because she kept putting Britain First.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Maria, there's at least one single guy in London with his head screwed on straight.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to tweet at him.
I wonder if they had that conversation.
That's true.
It's like, I feel like in your eyes, between me and Britain, Britain comes first. And she's like, well, I did name it that.
Yeah.
That's literally
the name of my organization.
I wanted you to know.
Yeah. It's not called God first. Mm-mm. It's not called my pets and friends first.
Yeah.
It's called Britain first.
It's not called Kyle first, Kyle.
Let's start an organization called Kyle First.
Kyle First.
Just, I know some rad Kyles. Kyle Clark hosts the This Is Rad podcast. He's nice. Let's talk about Jada Franson a little more. She was also charged with hate speech at a rally in Belfast in November, which you can just be charged with hate speech in other countries?
I think
that's neat.
Yeah.
We're one of the few countries that hasn't gotten that far
yet. They have like freedom of speech. It's just but no hate speech. You're not allowed to do that.
Well, it's the same thing as like there's, swastikas. Well, are there's outlawed technically in Germany.
Oh yeah, anything the salute is.
Yeah,
yeah. There technically is like there's been two different Supreme Court cases on it in the United States about hate speech. Don't remember the names of them, but they're really they've not ruled in favor of the victim in those cases either time. I know one was about like burning a cross on a lawn, and another one was like somebody getting punched, I think, for like shouting racial epithets at people in public. And in both cases they were like, well, yeah, this does technically, because there is like a law that's like, well, if you're using hate speech, it's speech that's going to incite violence. Yeah,
sure,
that's illegal. You can't be like, I hate gay people, go to Bob the gay guy's house and kill him. You can't say that, but you can say I hate gay people.
Right, yeah. And both times it was brought up on us. Well, this is inciting.
Bob the gay guy.
His house
on Gay Street.
It's going to be the next t-shirt we send out, Bob the gay guy t-shirts.
Right. But anyways, the point is that the court's not ruled in favor of it either time, even though the law technically says what Brett just said.
Well, that's what's happening right now with the cake thing, too. I mean, by the time this podcast comes out, there might have been a resolution to it. But the whole cake, I don't know if you know what's going on with the cake Supreme Court case about the baker who doesn't want to bake a cake for.
Right.
Well, they are trying it as the defense the counsel representing the baker is presenting it as a freedom of speech issue, and that people who make decorative cakes are artists, like a painter or something like
sure,
that.
Right. Sure.
You can't force Adam Brown to make a podcast about like, hey, podcasting is an art. But the defense is like, the other side is like, well, what about Subway artists, like sandwich artists? Like, you know, you can't. At what point do you draw the line for things that are not really considered art to begin with?
Yeah. I'm going to go order just the gayest sandwich at Subway tonight and see what happens. Bet there's some conserves.
What is a gay sandwich?
Banana,
like meatballs?
Banana peppers?
No, meatball is the manliest of all sandwiches because that's the one I eat all the time. I don't know, like seafood and crab? That seems pretty.
Tom is stone-faced on this issue.
I feel like
Tom didn't like my answer.
I'm refusing to speculate.
Why not? Come on.
Sure.
Speculate on the gayest sandwich. Yay. So let's talk a little more about Jada France. And she's been held in custody 4 times by anti-terror police. She also sent a threat to New York Times reporters for inquiring about the videos that she shared on Twitter. She threatened reporters that visit her with home visits of their own. Does that mean she's going to fuck these reporters? That's
one way to interpret it, yeah.
That's how I choose to interpret it.
Sure, okay.
All right.
Getting held by anti-terror police 4 times is too many times.
It's too many.
Bauer has to come over and be like, you need to go in jail. You need to cool this one out for a few minutes. 4 times?
4 times.
I can imagine me, Brett, walking around. Maybe I'm at the Staples Center, and they're looking for a guy with a flannel shirt on, and Jack Bauer has to shoot my kneecap and be like, you get in the hole, right? You get in the can right now. We can't trust you. I'll be like, hey, this is a mistake, Jack Bauer. 4 times? You got to be doing something wrong. Fool me once sort of situation. Fool me 4 times.
Fool me once. Shame on Jack
Bauer. Stop pissing off. No shame on you again.
When she issued those threats, she called it the failing New York Times. So tell me more about how Donald Trump's not influencing all of these fucking crazy people around the world.
Where was the story that CNN, among other institutions, just broke about the slave trade?
It's in Libya.
Libya. And then they responded by saying, no, it's fake news. It's fake news, CNN.
Oh, yeah. In Myanmar, too, where there's like a fucking genocide happening. The leader in Myanmar also came out and said, no, fake news. It's like, no, you're slaughtering millions of people, dude.
Yeah.
That is not. And someone asked, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was watching a White House press conference today and someone asked about that. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders they were like, are you concerned that world leaders
are you concerned about this very concerning thing that's happening in the world?
I'll tell you what we're concerned about. It's fake news. We're concerned about the media spreading disinformation. It's like, bitch, there's a genocide happening. What the fuck? It's
denying objective reality is always terrifying at any point in history.
What's going to happen when, like, Trump's providing a playbook essentially for any up and coming dictators in other countries, like how to treat disinformation, all that stuff. So what if, you know, the next whoever of Iran bombs America and we're like, oh no, Iran, you bombed us, what are you going to do about it, huh? Should we come over and knock your asses? And they're like, oh, that was fake news. Like, what are they going to do then? Like, oh shit, they got us.
Damn it.
You have to honor for the fake news. The fake news trumps everything else.
You got me.
Yeah, it's nuts. Even UKIP has distanced itself from Britain First. Our president has not, but the party that basically passed Brexit has since said Britain First is a little too aggressively racist for them.
Tea partiers being like, whoa, these alt-right folks, these folks with the frogs are like, these are a little too intense.
Yeah, and he's a fucking demi, Trump.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what these groups are. He just saw super racist tweets, and he's like, oh, this aligns with my belief system. I'll retweet this. And then people are like, that's really bad. You shouldn't have tweeted that. I said, well, I'm not gonna delete it.
Yeah.
Because that's how he responds to any challenge.
And, yeah, we brought up Sarah Huckabee Sanders. When they asked her about this in a press briefing, about him tweeting these videos, her response was, whether the video is real, the threat is real, and that's what the president is talking about. Jesus.
I wonder if she goes home at night and just, like, washes her hands over and over and over again, just trying to, like, relieve herself of all the guilt she must feel for defending him.
Yeah, I was thinking about that watching her today. It's like, how, and she's so quick to just spit out, like, she must know. I mean, I feel like I could hold a press conference for Trump right now.
Yeah, you just say the same thing.
Yeah, and if nothing else, you go, well, Bill Clinton did it too.
Yeah.
Like, I saw, I don't remember who it was, but he's also a piece of shit Republican, Rick Santorum. And they kept bringing up, you know, Trump has 19 people accusing him of sexual abuse or sexual misconduct. And all he kept saying was, no Democrats voted to impeach Clinton in the 90s. And it's like, dude, that was decades ago.
Yeah.
It's a different world now. We also didn't always prosecute people who lynch black people. but we have progressed and moved
Times
on.
Times have changed.
You know what? I'll sacrifice Clinton if we can take out Trump, too. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Hang them both. I mean, figuratively speaking.
Rick Santorum was the guy that Dan Savage turned his last name into. It was supposed to mean, like, the cum in the that comes out of the butt.
It's
like
a frothy mixture of cum and anal juices.
Yeah.
Frothy is in the
And Rick Santorum coined that?
No, no.
What?
Dan Savage coined that about Santorum. And it became such a thing that if you Googled Santorum, that was the number one thing that came up.
Oh, okay.
And then
good.
Rick Santorum's campaign website, and this was in early 2012 when Santorum was running for president.
Okay, good. Because the way I heard that, I was like, Rick Santorum used the word frothy? That seems way above his vocab level.
No. We should come up with like a description that would equate Trump. Like something that incorporates the word moist. Nobody
oh my God, I hate the word moist.
What?
I think dry, like something vaginal dryness related.
People have tried, including Savage, have tried to make that happen again, like what happened with the word Santorum with a few other names, and it never really caught on.
Give us a couple weeks. We'll think on it over the Christmas break. We'll think on nothing else.
I'll pray on it.
Over the Christmas break. I think we all will.
Pray on it.
And I would ask our listeners to pray on it also. And we'll.
I think it's because like Santorum already kind of sounds like the definition, because it sounds because it ends like with like rectum. You know,
yeah,
it was already kind of already there.
It sounds like an unsavory medical term.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
For sure. Should we do comments? Are we far enough in to do comments? You know, it's a big world out there. It's easy to feel like the things you say don't even matter.
That's true, right?
I want you to know it's not true.
Oh, okay.
It's not true.
No, because we call this segment "Your Voice Matters," where we read your stupid fucking comments from the past few episodes and respond to them personally.
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 Fade it out, Brett. And by that, I mean just let it fade out naturally, because you don't have to do anything. I'm all Beautiful. About making your job easier these days.
Love it.
Don't say the word job.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting. God damn it. Let's read some comments from SoundCloud. Hide and Go Seek says, Brett and Tom, fuck yeah! Yeah! Woo! Young Stepdaddy.
It's my rap name.
He comments a lot. He says, OMG, I feel like a child on Christmas. Will Brett hit it for real, for real? Let's listen. He did hit it, Brett. Will he remember how to turn it off?
I'm hitting the button. I'm hitting the button.
You gotta hit the two buttons at the same
time. I am, bro. Going on. I got it. Don't worry.
Oh, this is a shame.
Oh, it's not stopping.
It's not stopping. I turned it off. Don't worry. Let's keep going. Keep the show going. Let it play out. I faded it out. I'm engineering the show. There's a knob here that controls the volume.
I started it again.
Jesus.
This fell apart very quickly.
Just like old times.
Professional veneer.
It's still going.
Gotta maintain.
It's so long. Hey, let's just keep reading comments. Gabriel Ferrer says, I've been listening to the back catalogs of Unpops the past few months, and I realized really how much Brett is missed.
Yeah.
Tom, too. Well, Al R. says, hooray, I've missed Tom Ryman the most of all the old cracked compatriots.
Oh, thanks, Al.
Are any of these comments going to be about me?
What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, did people not know Maria was going to be here? Could we not get some comments for either of us?
Let's check the chat. I mean, yeah, see, maybe the chat has something to say about Marina. I mean, Maria. Sorry, my wife's name is Marina, so it just lapsed into that. I apologize.
Jennifer.
Wait, you just said Maria. What did you say?
I said Marina, and then I had to correct myself.
Oh, gotcha.
Jennifer Fendelander in the comments on the YouTube live stream says, we can see Brett get angry now. I know, it's fun, right? It's so much fun.
It's the Brett rage cam.
Andrew Johnson says, Brett, do you work on an NPR show now? Could swear I heard you on it. It was a gardening show.
Yeah, that was me.
Was it?
Hi, welcome to Gardening with Brett. Today we're sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace. For all your gardening needs. You know, I started a website with Squarespace, and they have 24 hours of customer support. And you're listening to NPR. Next up is Fresh Air. Fresh Air.
You seem agitated today. Are you okay? Yeah.
Well, some of my succulents, they were a little dry. I checked out the soil this morning and they were a little dry.
Let's do this for another 15 or 20 minutes.
Okay. All right. Next up, we have Mozart's Concerto No. 3 in D minor.
Followed by Lou Bega's Mambo No. 5.
You know, the regular composer only makes 9 mambos.
What?
No, every classical composer makes 9 symphonies.
Oh.
I fucked it up. I mumbled the joke. But like Lou Bega would only make 9 mambos.
It took him 5
to retire.
Yeah, he peaked at 5.
Like classical composers only make 9 symphonies in their lifetime, and they make everything else is not called a symphony. I don't know.
He didn't bother with the last 4 mambos.
Yeah.
What a lazy bitch.
He's doing some ad right now for some gum or some
retirement.
It's about how
he never has to have a job again because Mambo No. 5 set him up.
You're on my television making a commercial for a fucking life insurance company. You are taking a job right now.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you'd be at the GameStop asking me if I want to pre-order something like that.
Do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, he's got to ask. So this was, how far in are we? I feel so relaxed now. I don't have to worry about anything.
A little bit under 55 minutes.
Oh, we're great then. We should wrap this up. This is going up next week. What do we have to plug? Come to our live podcast at the Hollywood Hotel, December 30th, 9 p.m. It's free. It's going to be a performing under the influence podcast, meaning we're going to do stand-up completely sober. Then we're going to go get fucked up and then come back and record a podcast. And as long as it doesn't sound like trash, we'll even release it so people can hear it.
What are you going to do?
Me and Quincy have been talking about it. We might do mushrooms.
That sounds great.
I did. I've done a PUI on mushrooms once before, and I know the big aftershock of that is I stay up and watch TV till 4 in the morning. So I can handle that.
It's a gentle one.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice ride. You just feel energized and everything you watch looks cool, and then you just eventually fall asleep way later than you should. So I'm into that. So come to that. Also come to The Darkest Hour, the second Friday of every month, West Side Comedy Theater, 11:30 p.m. Maria, what are you doing in England?
Yo. I am going to be, come see me at Angel Comedy at the Bill Murray on New Year's Eve. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be very drunk, so I'll be doing my own, PUI, but it would be, CUI. And then, just a bunch of shows. It's all on my website, mariashahada.com.
That makes sense.
Cool.
Brett, Tom, anything?
No, you can just check my website, mariashahada.com, for dates and tour info.
Yeah, I'm shadowing Maria Shahada through Europe this year. Tom, anything?
No,
you have to come.
No, my next week is wind whistling through a wasteland. That's it.
Yeah. What?
Just a blasted landscape of nothing.
We'll fix that. All right. This was fun. We should get out of here.
Yeah.
Maria, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tom, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Brett.
Goodbye, America.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Bristol Street. Bring a blood object to Bristol Street. I'm not.